Hello, everyone. This is OmniTalk Retail. I'm Chris Walton.
And I'm Ann Mazenga.
And we are coming to you live from the Vusion Group booth at the World Retail Congress, booth number one in the networking area. Come on by, say hello. And thanks to Vusion Group for being our partners and helping us create all the great content we have coming your way at this year's World Retail Congress. And joining us today, Ann,
yes,
is Scott Price, the CEO of DFI Retail Group. Scott, welcome to OmniTalk.
Thank you very much.
It's getting loud in here.
It is. Hey, Paris, what can you say?
We're going to have to project as loud as we possibly
can.
Wow.
Well, Scott, I'm really excited to have you because we just found out that we're fellow Minnesotans.
I know.
Right.
Small world, sitting in Paris. And not only that, we actually, like, 2 miles
yes.
from where I grew up, where you live.
Unbelievable. But give our audience a little bit of background on you, and then if you can share also the DFI International Group, like exactly what that is,
okay.
how many stores, like just kind of give us an overview if you don't mind.
So I'm a creature of Asia. I've multi-industry. I started with Coca-Cola in Asia. Mm. Then I decided to go into logistics, then went into retail with Walmart, went back into logistics. And, as a new challenge, took on the DFI role. Based in Hong Kong. So this is our third time in Hong Kong and enjoying it. Actually, DFI is probably the most unknown large-scale retailer in the world.
Yeah.
We have 11,000 stores.
What?
Across
wow.
13 countries. We have a whole raft of food retailers across Hong Kong and Singapore, all the way up to Cambodia. We have a health and beauty under Mannings and Guardian across 12 markets, including Vietnam. We have the IKEA franchise across multiple markets.
Really?
And we're the 7-Eleven franchisee for many markets in Asia. And then we have a food-based restaurant business called Maxim's that has Starbucks and multiple other types of things. So again, DFI is not a norm brand because we don't actually trade under that.
Okay.
We trade under those multi-brands that have those 11,000 stores across the region.
Wow.
So you might be a little bit of a busy man, Ben.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Although I heard this morning, busy is the new stupid. So I'm a little careful say I'm thoughtful around my use of time.
Yeah, you're selective on your schedule.
Yes.
You're a selective
you
scheduler,
have to be.
Right?
Well,
so you're very steeped in retail, it sounds like, and brands, too. So,
yes.
And you've been in the role, the CEO role, for about a year,
yep.
give or take, right? How'd your background help you prepare for the role?
Well, look, I think one area that probably just working for many multinationals is just exposure to different leadership styles.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, the role of the CEO. The role of the CEO is fivefold. First, strategy. Second, resource allocation, financial, human. Third, development of talent. Fourth, around risk mitigation. Fifth, around stakeholder management. That includes the media. That includes your board. That includes stakeholders like investors, et cetera. I sit on the board of Kohl's in Australia, and so it's been interesting to be wearing the two hats because, you know, what I tell board members is it's nose in, fingers out, whereas when you have leadership, you better have your fingers in.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that helped prepare me, and then, of course, just having lived in Asia for over 25 years.
Right.
My wife is from Asia. My children are multicultural. They grew up in six countries. And so just that complexity prepared me to come in and take on a portfolio that is quite complex.
Well, and you have a speaking session here
yes.
at World Retail Congress. I mean, you've just shared so much with us. What might, like, 30-minute part are you going to impart on the audience when you speak? Like, what are you going to share with them?
Yeah,
what do you
hope they? Those five
I know
really
I was
quick.
Like, oh my gosh, how can we condense this all into one session? But what are you going to share with the audience?
So, you know, look, I think there are multiple topics in the post-COVID world that are affecting retail.
Okay.
This morning we talked quite a bit Omni. You know, the focus that I'm going to talk about this afternoon is delivering on the sustainability commitments most retailers
okay.
have talked
Great.
Have made out there. You know, scope one, scope two, how I manage the portfolio and impact of our stores, pretty well advanced. I think everyone's making progress. I think the challenge that we now have is our customers come into our stores and they assume what they buy has been assessed by us.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that scope three is turning out to me being the biggest emerging challenge for retailers. 2030, most have made commitments in terms of reduction. I'm confident that the global brands, the Mars Wrigley from this morning, the Coca-Colas, the Unilevers, they will fix their scope one, scope two, which is my scope three.
Yeah.
Our challenge is the commodities, rice, poultry, meat. There are no global brands that are out there figuring out the innovation and the solutions of how you negate that. It's falling to the retailers.
Right.
So I'm talking quite a bit this afternoon around how we need to innovate and figure out how we're going to deliver on that 2050 net zero across those commodities. Asians are going to eat rice. How are we going to mute the impact that has on the planet?
And are there any, do you have five things that you're going to be sharing with them as tools or tips or how to kind of approach that? Or how do you kind of think about
that? How do you do that?
So we just took on SBTI, the Science-Based Target Initiative, which is an entity that is helping anyone who signs up, retailers as well, figure out from a math-based, science-based, audit-based, how you deliver upon all of these. It is so recent. I'm on the board of the Consumer Goods Forum, CGF, mm-hmm. And I'm one of the co-sponsor with the CEOs of ICA in the Netherlands. In Scandinavia and Danone as co-sponsors for this Scope 3 Net Zero commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, on sort of like a maturity curve of 1 to 10, we're kind of like a 2.2 in terms of understanding that intersection of retailers versus the CPG. Retailers in the background are going to have to figure out how they come together around these commodities.
Right. Ugh.
So,
wow.
All right. So, Scott, so sustainability is one of the answers potentially to this question that you've already touched on. One of the jobs of the CEO is also to see around the corners of what's next. What do they have to be thinking about? So what are some of those other things that you're on the lookout for that you're trying to get your organization in front of?
Yeah. So as a brick and mortar retailer, we're kind of now in the third generation of grappling with the digital impact to our business.
Okay.
Right. Phase one, we stuck with our stores. We eyed suspiciously and ignored for probably too long the pure play digital players. Phase two, we tried to duplicate what they were doing.
Right.
And that's not who we are. An endless aisle doesn't really work for a brick and mortar based retailer. We're now in this Gen 3, which is to say, how do we create an in-store experience? Omni is a word that gets overused. But how do you ensure that your customer comes to your store and that there is through their digital, whether it's a phone or in some cases, believe it or not, iPads. There's nothing more fun than seeing a 68-year-old Asian grandma walking around
iPad,
the store
walking
with an
the
iPad.
Wow.
Probably because the font's big, but it's there. How do you create that experience where they can create content or see content to help them make a better buying decision in health and beauty? How do they use the iPad to track the blockchain on that organic pork to make sure that they're actually getting organic pork that's not been labeled? So to me, it's around that omni experience and how do we across Asia figure out how to get our stores ahead of competition.
So said another way, using digital as the complementary tool to
Correct.
What you do every day
Correct.
In your stores so well. That's how you're thinking about it.
Exactly.
That's the third wave here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I want to talk to you quickly. You mentioned sustainability, as Chris said, but how do you feel like the retailers in Asia are ahead of us in the U.S.? Like, what are some things that you think U.S. retailers really need to prioritize based on your experience, kind of being a little bit further ahead of the curve, as you said?
Do you know, I think, for one, there is a maturity difference, and it's a bit like, you know, developing countries who skipped the landline generation of phones and moved to digital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In some instances,
right.
retail is the same. And so if you did not have large-scale, committed, large boxes, you actually could see where the future was going. Smaller boxes, more digital. You're not sitting on 30-year-old technology
right.
that's
right.
basically proprietary code cut, on-prem hosted.
Right.
You can go direct to cloud SaaS.
Right.
And so there's probably a level of agility in Asia that isn't weighed down with some of that debt
yeah.
of large scale in the West that
right.
you find among many retailers. I think the second is, You know, we've seen the full U-turn over the last 5 to 8 years of all of the global retailers who came to Asia, China in particular, with big box solutions. Mm-hmm. They've all exited. And it's because the customer, the assortment, the shopping mission is just different.
Yeah.
And there was this attempt to globalize the retail experience, and it's becoming very clear Asian retail experience has to be different. And I think that's where we're trying to differentiate, is to ensure that we're clear who our customer is, what their mission is, and provide that in-store and online, as opposed to best practice from somewhere else in the world and try and force it down the throat of an Asian customer.
Right.
So let's get you out of here on this. So one of the things we like to talk about is we believe that the smart store of the future is also, to your point, a more sustainable store.
Yes.
Is that a statement you agree with? And if so, how do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's a very sexy phrasing, the smart store. Ultimately, it comes down to the impact of the transaction. The reality is, for the most part, a brick-and-mortar store is more sustainable subscale than a digital online.
Right.
Because, frankly, our customer comes, they do the fulfillment in the last mile.
They do a lot of the work.
They not only do the work, which helps our economic model, but generally it has less of a carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're at scale, you've got the ability to blunt it. So I wouldn't say, you know, a smart store that has a digital transaction enablement is a better solution. We all have to figure out what these scale solutions are that you can track what is the carbon footprint from the transaction.
Well said, well said. All right, well, thank you for spending time
with
us. I know you're a very busy man, so thanks for giving us 10 or 15 minutes of your time.
Pleasure.
Again, Scott Price from WRC. Thanks to the Fusion Group for sponsoring our work here at the conference. And Anne, as always,
be careful out there.